Welcome back here with the news at 1. European leaders have condemned the decision of the United States to impose a travel ban on 5 Europeans, including a former EU commissioner. US Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the 5 people targeted with visa bans, including former Commissioner Thierry Breton, led organized efforts to coerce American tech companies to censor, demonize and suppress American viewpoints that they oppose. The French President Emmanuel Macron described the measure as intimidation and coercion aimed at undermining digital sovereignty. Well, let's go to the United States now and speak with US-based journalist Sarah Firth. Sarah, good afternoon and thank you for joining us. Can you tell us more about this travel ban imposed by the US State Department on 5 Europeans and the motivation behind it?
Yes, so I'll tell you the statement from the US Secretary of State Marco Rubio on Tuesday. He called these 5 individuals who've been hit with these visa bans by the US, the most prominent of which is the former EU commissioner. He called them radical activists, and he's accused them of advancing censorship crackdowns by foreign states against what the US and the Trump administration here are seeing as foreign states sort of cracking down on American speakers, American companies. Rubio saying the Trump administration will no longer tolerate these egregious acts of what he called extraterritorial censorship. What you've essentially got is a pretty significant escalation in what's been a fairly long-running argument between the Trump administration in particular here in Washington and Brussels. And it's over who essentially gets to rule and set the rules in the digital world. So the Trump administration is saying that they think, in particular with the EU's Digital Services Act, that this all amounts to foreign governments reaching across borders, trying to shape what is said and seen online. And so in that context, these visa bans on these 5 individuals so far, they're meant by the Trump administration to be a punishment, to be a deterrence. Of course, the European perspective is very, very different, right? They're saying that these actions are designed to make platforms more transparent and safer. And Brussels has absolutely insisted, you know, no extraterritorial ambition.
And there has been strong pushback from the European side. Can we expect a retaliation from the EU?
Oh, that's a good question. Look, the reaction from Europe has been surprisingly actually united around this issue. You've had the former European commissioner come out and accuse America of censorship, comparing it to the McCarthy era. The EU Commission has condemned the move. They framed it as intimidation. And France in particular, look, they've been really vocal. President Emmanuel Macron saying this is an attempt to undermine European digital sovereignty. Look, it's really a big clash of cultures here. It is possible you'll see escalation. You've already seen the US make moves against the UK too. So what you've got is this clash of cultures, right, where America's got this very absolutist view of free speech, and that's come up against Europe's more regulated approach to the US. And I don't think it's the last that you've seen of this argument playing out now politically.
Sarah, separately then, much of the headlines in the United States today are dominated by the latest batch of the Epstein files, which were released yesterday. Lots of references to the US President Donald Trump in these files, including details of his travel on Jeffrey Epstein's jet. What did we learn from them?
Yeah, a really strange holiday season here, because we've had these sort of dribs and drabs being released by the Department of Justice when it comes to the Epstein files. So we've now had, in the last day, some 11,000 files, around 30,000 more pages tied to the Epstein investigation. So these include like photos, court papers, FBI and Department of Justice emails. And amongst that release now, we've got a sort of clearer picture starting to emerge as everyone's digging through that. President Trump, Donald Trump, is mentioned much more in this release than in the previous releases. You had, as you mentioned there was an internal Department of Justice email in 2020 that mentions that flight records show that President Trump, not then President, of course, Donald Trump, was at least was on at least 8 flights between 1993 and 1996, and that was more than prosecutors originally believed. So that's certainly catching a lot of attention here in the United States.
And the documents also show that prosecutors, they issued a subpoena to Donald Trump's Florida beach club, Mar-a-Lago. What were they looking for?
Information when it came to Ghislaine Maxwell. She, of course, now is currently serving a very long prison sentence for her involvement with Jeffrey Epstein and sex trafficking. But you also had them in this latest release prosecutors talking about co-conspirators. The information is still sort of being really combed through. There's a lot of verification required. The Department of Justice in this release have come out and said, look, some of the information and claims are untrue and sensationalist, but they say they have to include it, right, as part of the requirement from Congress to release all these files. It does have to be noted, the Department of Justice coming in for some criticism here because they haven't technically complied with the letter of the law here. The congressional deadline was meant to force full transparency. They haven't met that. Instead, we've got these sort of fragments that everyone is combing through in this holiday period, you know, and it's keeping it very much in the headlines, but it's difficult to sort of be going through and verifying everything. Yes. What I can tell you, though, there's a real sense here among so many Americans that I'm speaking to that this is all reinforcing a sense that powerful people were protected when it came to Jeffrey Epstein and what he was involved in. And that also there's a sense that perhaps still being protected because the information hasn't come all in one go. It's in these dribs and drabs with lots of redactions, lots of confusion, a little bit of a messy release from the Department of Justice. And yet really a sense amongst the American population, they're still not getting the full picture here.
And some of these documents appear to relate to another powerful figure, the brother of the King of England, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. What do the documents purportedly say about him?
Yes, and I mean, when it comes to Trump, when it comes to the powerful individuals named, and when it comes to Prince Andrew, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, as he's now known, you know, everyone's repeating the line, and it does bear repeating, that being, you know, having your name in the documents doesn't necessarily mean criminal wrongdoing, and they haven't been charged or accused of any crime at this point when it comes to Trump, when it comes to Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. Look, in this latest release, what you've got is in 2001 emails that appear to place Ghislaine Maxwell in contact with someone who's been signing off as A, writing from Balmoral and joking about finding inappropriate friends. Andrew has repeatedly denied accusations that have been made against him by Virginia Giuffre. And as they said, he's never been charged. And we don't know at this point, as they said, well, all these verifications are still going on. You know, journalists across America and, of course, you know, around the world are going to be waiting for rights of response from the likes of the royal family. We don't have any more information than that. Yes. sign off as A. But look, again, you know, it's really uncomfortable reading whoever that A is, the inappropriate friends comment. And it's just one part of this huge number, you know, tens of thousands of emails and photos making people very uncomfortable. And as I said, adding to this sense that very powerful people are being protected here.
Sarah, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That's Sarah Firth reporting from the United States.